Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Whoo, Messy, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Booking the Territory. Oh, yeah.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast. Tonight, we're talking NWA Saturday Night from April the 11th, 1987, coming off the heels of Stan Lane making his debut in the territory, and we're in the midst of the 1987 Crockett Cup Tournament, so we're going to be talking all about that and what's going on there. I'm sitting here with Doc Turner. Hardbody Harper actually had a family emergency, so hopefully you won't be disappointed, but he will not be able to join us tonight. With all that said, Doc, how you doing, man? You hanging in there?
So busting out baby doll's guts is now referred to as a family emergency.
Super. Well, I'm just telling you what he said. He had an emergency. Okay. He asked me not to disclose it on air what the emergency was or what he was dealing with. So that, you know, there we are with that. There you go.
All right. Well, shit, you know, as always, I'm blessed and I'm about to be a blessing to a lot of saps out there in radio land. Dude, we talked about it on a patron episode beforehand, but is it hot enough out there for you, pal? Let's talk about the weather.
This is fucking ridiculous.
It's dangerous.
It actually really is. We talked about it shortly on a patron episode, but Doc and I mean, it's ridiculous, man. We broke, in the last 2 days, we broke the heat record in our area. The weather report says we're going to break it for the next 2 days as well again. So we're probably going to break it for the next 2 to 3 days. It is hot. It is ridiculous. I don't know how else to say it, man.
I looked right before we hopped on. It was 106 actual temperature with a heat index of 109.
And our ACs are struggling to keep up with the heat because it's so goddamn hot out there, man. I mean, just walking outside to go get the mail was like walking into hell itself.
Oh yeah.
It's ridiculous, man. It's hot. You know, we hear the term hotter than Six Suns or, you know, hotter than Panther Piss or whatever you want to call it. Those words do nothing for the heat out there right now. And I hate it. So, but anyway, Doc, we got a couple things I want to mention. Oh, you got anything before I get into your Docholic spotlight? I want to mention a couple things before we do the spotlight.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you're going to be okay here because Harper's not going to be here to help me. And you've been guzzling Hennessy since about 1:30 this afternoon.
Okay, that's not true. He's lying. I haven't been guzzling Hennessy. When I got off work, I was like, man, it's hot. You know what? I'm going to pour me... This sounds crazy because I guess cold beer actually goes with the heat better than like Hennessy. But yes, yeah. I poured me some Hennessy and I guzzled a nice big glass before we recorded. But unlike you, I can handle my liquor because as Robert Silva always says, you have a drinking problem. You can't handle your liquor.
Well, the wall.
You can't deny it. He can't deny it.
The wall just got a little bit higher for him and his people.
Okay. Anyway, so, yes, I've been drinking some Hennessy, but I am not pissy drunk like you are. So there is that. A special shout out. Want to mention some of our larger patron contributors, disrespectfully classy Marky Blassie, and newest Hall of Fame patron this week, at Kyle_Rowley. 1986 on Twitter. Kyle, I got your first shirt ordered as of July 18, 2018. And who knows, maybe by the time this airs, you will have it. So just wanted to shout you out. Thanks again for becoming a patron, Kyle. Thanks for your generous donation to the show. And your shirt should be on the way. So there you go. No weird news of the week, but I do want to mention the new Facebook group.
Hold on. Before you do that, You do need to tell, we just told the patrons about some things, but you do need to tell everybody that there's been a change of plans on the whole 200 five-star review concept, haven't you?
That's a good point, because we told the patrons, so we need to break the news to you guys.
We're getting ready to do a charitable act for the larger army, and more specifically the docaholics here, by protecting your ears from something here. Mike, tell them what's up.
Well, the BTT Broads episode was an epic fucking failure of epic proportions. It was tremendously bad, if that makes sense. And Doc and I made an executive decision after thinking about it long and hard that we really tried our hardest to carry those broads across the finish line. And Doc, do you have anything else to say other than the fact
that it was like if you were wrestling with somebody and they were supposed to go over and they died in the ring and you laid down and pulled them on top of you for the pin.
That's probably the best explanation I can have heard of what went down.
Those two should get down on their damn knees every night and thank the Lord above that they get that somebody, mainly the two of us, puts up with their crap.
Were they not the drizzling shits?
Awful.
I mean, I don't know if they were trying to be entertaining or they just didn't give two shits, but it was pretty bad. So we made an executive decision. What's going to happen is, and maybe by the time this airs, you would have heard it, Harper, Doc, and I are actually going to do another bonus show on a topic that is nothing but wrestling related, and that will be the ECW episode. And I don't have it in front of me when Shane Douglas threw down the belt. There's a lot that goes down in that episode beside Douglas throwing down the belt. So we're going to do a recap and review, actually a walkthrough too, of the whole episode. Like, I'm going to hit play, say start, and then we're going to play some promos from it, and Doc and Harper and I will give you a bonus show on that, a good hour long of actually wrestling. And we apologize, but these broads, I mean, it was the shits. No other way to say it. So sorry. We'll give you a bonus show anyway.
And it's about time we steal a concept from Conrad and not the other way around.
Oh, you go taking the shot. Conrad, he does not speak for the show. I know you're listening. He doesn't speak for the show. He speaks for himself. You and I have no heat.
I gotta say something about his show. If you think I was ever a heel, that dude, he keeps on there, Casio Kid, man. That guy's got nuclear heat.
Fake Stan Lane was fussing about him on Twitter.
He should, man. That's the only thing me and Fake Stan Lane have ever agreed upon. But Jesus Christ.
Fake Stan Lane tweeted out, what patron level do I need to choose so that I don't have to listen to Casio? That's just wrong.
That's pretty true, though.
I popped. It was good.
The main thing is, we don't, as much as I hate all you guys, we made a promise that you get some bonus content. The patrons sent in a bunch of questions that we asked these broads, and they failed miserably. But we're going to release that show to the patrons. But we don't, for all the people that gave reviews and all the people that are out there stealing this show for free and not giving us reviews, we'll still give you something. It's just, you trust us. I mean, you got to be a diehard fan of this shit to get through that.
God, would you? It was the shits, bro.
I came ready for one of the two to come back and ask one of us, so when do we get to come back on the show?
Here's a big cup of never, bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
Today after never, you twat.
All right. So, if you haven't already done so, go join the Facebook group for the show. There is a Facebook page. We've been talking about it for 3 years now, but now we have a group where we can interact as our own community. And it's a fun little place, man. Lots of good things going on there. It's show discussions, all that good stuff. Go to Facebook, just search either Book in the Territory Podcast - the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, or just use the tiny URL. It's tinyurl.com/BTTFB group, and it'll ask you a couple of questions once you request access, and we'll let you in for listening to the show. But lots of good stuff going on there in the Facebook group, so please come and join. Lots of great discussions, people putting Doc over, people hating Doc, people enjoying Harper, people hating me, people hating Harper, just a lot of great stuff. So
here's a pimp me pimping out trying to be on the be a patron. The highlight, if you're not a patron, to become a patron, will be listening to the Broads episode to try to figure out who in the Mills household is actually white and who is actually black. It's really confusing. We think, and this is still just a guess, that you're white and sound black, but your wife is black and sounds white. I don't know. It's real confusing. I spent the better part of the episode trying to figure it out. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, now that you're done, I just want to mention, check out my buddies from the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with ROH's Brian Malonis, who is not officially, or he is now officially a tag team member with Beer City Bruiser. They're now, ROH is calling them the Bouncers, and they are two huge motherfuckers, and they are regulating shit in ROH. So, yeah, check out the show, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with Brian Malonis, Mike Crockett. By the time this airs, I would have been a co-host on either the show that aired a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm not quite sure when that show will debut that I recorded with Crockett. So there you go. The topic on that show was bad gimmicks of the 1980s, and I ripped the WWF talent during that time a new asshole. Not the talent, but the gimmicks, that is. Because, I mean, some of the guys actually had talent. It's just that they were in bad gimmicks. But so there you go. Yeah, check them out. Either search WPAN or Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. And also check out our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast, run by buddies of mine, Joe Morata, Michael Quinn, as they give their take on the northern side of pro wrestling's history. Slightly classier, definitely more professional than us, but hey, that's what we claim. We're the Unprofessional Podcast. And thank you, Joe and Quinn, for all your plugs. Please give them a listen if you support us. Those two shows are independent like us. They work hard. They put out a consistent product. So shout out to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing and our Vantage Point. All right, Doc, you got a docaholic before we get into this week's NWA show from April the 11th, 1987. Oh.
I got something else real quick. So I was listening, and probably a lot of the Army and the Docaholics, though, our good friend Bobby Blaze has a new podcast.
Was it Bell to Bell with Bobby Blaze?
Right. Well, I got a little bone to pick with. First of all, Conrad's stealing all my content, and now there's this. So I was recently listening to Bobby's podcast. They were counting down the top 10 wrestling themes of all time, and Bobby said the Book in the Territory podcast with Mike Mills and the guys over there, Bobby, it's Harper and I and that lackey that we carry through the show every week.
Did he really say that?
Yes. So next time, I'm gonna offer this again. The next time you need your ratings popped a little bit, just come find Harper and I, and we'll come take care of everything for you. If people knew how sorry and little you are and how little you do for this show, it would shock people.
Yeah, how little I do. There wouldn't be a show that makes the airwaves without me. Thank you. Can you get to your spotlight, please? Because we got a big time spotlight.
Well, Harper and I could find some intern from our TBF program somewhere here. But anyway, I do have a big Docs, it's been a summer of laziness from the Docaholics, but this week we have a big one.
Yeah, this wasn't lazy. This was far from lazy. Actually, Mark at Thin Man Within on Twitter, he came correct and he came strong.
So I got a message while we were recording the Broads episode from the Menace saying, whatever this guy's name is. What's his name?
What do you mean, whatever his name is? His name is Mark Wilson, and at Thin Man Within, he's a longtime patron, Hall of Fame patron member.
Well, and he got a video of with Bullet, the Bullet, Bob Armstrong. He didn't quite get all the taglines right or get it all out okay, but that's okay. He's 106 years old, so he probably doesn't know what a podcast is. But hey, man, he was talking about Smoky Mountain in the quick little video. And hey, when you go and interfere with a wrestler's life and tell them about our podcast, you get the spotlight of the week.
It was pretty awesome, actually, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know how great it really was now that I think
about it. No, it was great. You're just underselling it. Mark, he's giving you a hard time. You know how he is, Mark. He plays heel, so fuck him. Mark, thank you again for getting the Bullet to plug the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. There you go. And like Bullet Bob said, it's bad to the bone talking about the
podcast. He also said it was one of his favorite times in wrestling, and that guy was in wrestling for 50 fucking years.
if not more. He sure the hell did. All right. Well, Doc, anything else before we jump into the main show?
You should have him on the show sometime. How confused do you think we could make Bob Armstrong?
I mean, he did the stud. Yeah, I mean, he was on with Ron Fuller, but
that's different than two, three guys asking him about Badussi and booking it, bitch.
That's true too. All right,
I'm gonna have to call up my son Road Dog and figure out what Badussi is.
All right, man. So, all right, well, anything else before we jump into NWA?
Let's talk some wrestling.
All right, so this week we are talking the April 11th, 1987 episode of Saturday Night on TBS. Again, we're coming off the heels of Stan Lane's debut, and we are in the midst of the Crockett Cup tournament. So there you have it, of the, of 1987, that is. So Barry Windham and...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so do we think, and this is something we probably should have probably have talked about and probably should know after doing this for a year and a half, but do we think that they actually recorded these on Saturday mornings?
Dude, I wish they did. I wish I had the book in front of me. I have the record book. I should have looked at it ahead of time to see if they indeed did this one that morning.
Because the point I'm making is if that is true, it feels like they only sent the skeleton crew back down from Baltimore at the Crockett Cup. Because it felt like not everybody was there, and they were working longer matches to make up for that, in some regards.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Corny and the Midnight were there. Where the Road Warriors were
I didn't
there.
Say they sent, I didn't say they sent the B team. I'm just saying they didn't send everybody.
I didn't feel that way. I mean, I kind of felt like...
Whatever. Yeah. All right.
And I mean, last year during the Crockett Cup, they recorded it that morning and Rick got on the fucking flight and flew down to New Orleans. So
that was the infamous Crockett Cup that you were actually in attendance for, correct?
Right. That only had, 12,000 people in that big ass fucking building. But yeah, I mean, I think I'll have to check the, somebody's going to correct me. Look, don't worry about emailing me or tweeting me. I can look. I have the record book at home. I just don't have it in the room that I am in right now. But yeah, I think they did it. I think they recorded it the morning of, before the evening show that night. So yeah, I mean, it's not that, I mean, Baltimore ain't that far away from Atlanta. Shit.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. So Barry Windham and Tony Schiavone, they kind of open up the show, and night one of the tournament has happened, just as Doc and I have been discussing, with night two coming up later tonight on April the 11th. I didn't really have anything from the short promo from Schiavone and Barry. Did you have anything of importance, Doc?
He's got butterflies, dude. He's taking on the champ tonight. It's the opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, we probably should talk about that for a second. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, Barry came in. He's in the promotion, 5 months now, Doc? He came in December of 86, so we're talking, he's taking on a champ. I mean, he's already done it. Remember that match we reviewed where he took on a champ? God, that was
I remember a couple. I remember a couple we've seen that were fantastic, but this is at a prestigious event, international event like the Crockett Cup in historic Baltimore on the historic riverfront or some shit. Remember that fraud last week that wouldn't shut up in her monotone voice? She probably sounded like that when she's getting plugged. Yes, give it to me.
Wow, that's really classy of you, Doc. Okay, so we go to from the opening of the show to Ole Anderson with Tim Horner versus Ray Aaron. Ole wins with an armbar. Doc, anything from you before we go to the Road Warriors?
No. All right. I don't like Tim. I don't like Tim Horner.
Tim Horner with Ole Anderson. Let me tell you how bad this is. I completely omitted it from my memory.
Yeah, I don't think I remember this either, to be honest.
It's how bad it is. Like, you look back at it 30 years later, you're like, I don't remember that dude with Ole. Anyway, let's go to the Road Warriors now and their promo with Schiavone. Here it is.
As everybody in the wrestling world knows, the Road Warriors are all over the world. We go to all great cities. We go to New York, our hometown of Chicago. We go to L.A. We go to San Francisco. But now, people of Phoenix, Arizona, you get to see the Warriors firsthand. We've been a long time. You know, the Warriors get their name by wrestling great people. See, that's how you're judged in this wrestling world. You can say you're great, but you got to prove it. You got to beat great people. That's why we wrestle the Four Horsemen. That's why we wrestle everybody else in the NWA, because the NWA is the best they have to offer. And now, Rude Bull, we got you. We've been waiting a long time. Now it's time for those titles to change hands, right, Hawk?
Tony Schiavone, there are some people that wrestle, and there are some people that fight. And there are some people that fight, and there are some people that fight with a lot of hate. Well, we fight with a whole lot of hate. We fight because we were bred to fight. Because the man up there in the big cloud said, I built you two to get down here on Earth and wipe it clean. That means the Four Horsemen, wipe them clean. That means Rude and Fernandez, wipe them clean. That means anybody that you don't like, I don't like, wipe them clean. So, we made ourselves very clear today, haven't we? We are going to wipe the wrestling world clean. And all that's going to be left is whatever we want to be left. Because we are the Road Warriors. We are number one. And we have a heck. We got one heck of a brain backing us up. And Paul Ellery, let's get out of here.
You know, Tony Hawk said it all. Nothing stokes a fire like hate.
All right, we got the gist of it from Hawk and Animal. Doc, what did you have from that promo where the Warriors mean business right there with their new belts?
Man, that's terrifying to me because they're already hitting the ring, beating the shit out of people. Now they're doing it because they hate folks? Come on. I thought Hawk was great there. I mean, Animal was his normal self, which wasn't bad, but I thought Hawk was really, really good there. We hate because the big man upstairs made it so.
Yeah, we're born to fight. We're going to wipe the wrestling world clean. I mean, again, we've repeated it probably 100 times in the last 2 years doing this, but they mean business. One of the most believable promos you'll ever see. Shit you just don't see anymore. So when we bitch about the current product and stuff we see, you just really don't see things like this anymore. I mean, you do occasionally, like Christopher Daniels that we reviewed a couple weeks back. But, yeah, I mean, you just don't. So, anyway, all right, we'll keep going. Doc, did you have anything from Cornette introducing the Midnight Express?
No.
You didn't? Okay. It wasn't bad. He just introduced in the Midnight Express right there. So Midnight Express are there, and they're going to go up against Tony Angel and Larry Stevens.
Is that Tommy? Tommy Angel?
Did I say Tony?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. Tommy Angel. And you want to tell them why you corrected me when we say Tommy Angel?
Because he's a Smoky Mountain dude.
Right. He's a Smoky Mountain dude. He came in with his mullet, and he chopped his mullet at some point. We're in a phase of Smoky Mountain now where we haven't seen Tommy Angel in a while. I can't remember if he comes back, but I guess that's neither here nor there on our Smoky Mountain show. But
hey, I got a question for you.
Si, senor.
Did you know that Mr. Saito died?
Yes. I saw some tweets about that this week.
Oh.
Or, I mean, as of us recording this, it was basically 2 weeks ago. But, yes, I did. Pretty sad. What did you want to say something about the man?
I just found that out right now. He was a salt-throwing AWA heavyweight world champion there, pal.
Yeah. Like, the thing about him that's different is, for us, like, I guess Muda and Kabuki were the big Japanese talents we remember and know of. Would you agree with that?
Who?
Muda and Kabuki.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to be serious. Like, Muda and Kabuki for you and I would be the big Japanese talents we remember from our wrestling fandom. Saito.
And for me, it's Kabuki more than Muda.
I think it's Kabuki, too, because of my world class size. I'm thinking of Muda from, you know, later on in WCW. But my point is, like, Saito, he AWA champion, and then I guess he just was in areas that we probably didn't watch as much. Agreed?
That motherfucker went to jail with Ken Patera, pal.
He was a bad son of a bitch. That's what you're saying. So, okay. Any other thoughts on Saito as we are... keep moving on.
No, so we're back to the Midnight Express as we hop all around the place. We're both liquored up and possessed by demon alcohol, so forgive us, Lord.
I'm not liquored up. But Midnight Express, Tommy Angel, Larry Stevens. Midnight Express looked good with Stan. And when the matches, the ladies licked their lips at Sweet Stan. They actually panned to the crowd, and they showed some bras licking their lips looking at Sweet Stan, which tells me that Sweet Stan has done his job that we discussed last week, where he's banging all the fucking rats. But your thoughts, Doc, on anything from the match, if anything?
I thought this is where I first got the – they're letting the Midnight Express in their debut go a long time. Now, I get why they're doing that. They're showing everybody what Stan can do and then how Stan and Eaton are going to be a force to be reckoned with. But they went a long time in this match.
For a Saturday night enhancement talent match, I would agree that it was a fairly long match, man. I think you nailed it there with that one. So, yeah, good point there. All right, so then we go from that to they recap Flair talking about Precious from last week, where which we covered on the April 4th episode of 87. Remember, Flair said he was going to parade around the Space Mountain Nets this week and yada, yada, yada. Doc, any thoughts from that? I'm not going to play it. I mean, it's 5 minutes long, but thoughts from that, if any?
Wait, what? Which segment is this?
Jesus, how drunk are you? They recap Flair talking about Precious from last week.
Oh yeah. That's right.
It's nothing new. It's actually right. The same shit from last week.
Tony, she is a specimen. She is alive. I've never met someone so alive. Look at those bodacious tatas.
Those bodacious tatas. She wants me, Tony. She wants me. That was Flair. He violated every rule of the Me Too movement as he kept pursuing a woman that did not want her. So, Doc is...
No, he didn't violate every rule. He didn't do the Louis C.K. where he just whipped it out and started beating it in front of everybody.
So he didn't violate
TV.
The Cosby rule either, where he drugged the broad.
Right. I'd say by those measures, Precious got off quite lucky, quite easy.
The Cosby rule. We're not even going to say. Everyone should know what that is. Okay. All right. So we got a match coming up after they show that replay. Arn Anderson wins, and he defeats Zane Smith. So, Doc, any thoughts on that match before we go to the Arn
promo?
This is
the second time when I thought, man, they're stretching these matches out. Because he hit the spine buster, and then he went for another 4 minutes, I bet, before Gourd Buster and him.
Good point. I wasn't really making mental notes of that, but I agree. There was, they went like 6 minutes, which I guess is kind of long for an enhancement talent match for Zane versus, Arn versus Zane Smith. But, you hear them old timers talk a lot of times about the enhancement talent matches. And they say, if I beat them too quick, what does it really mean? So I don't know. Maybe there's something to that, too.
Okay.
All right, moving right along, JJ and Arn Anderson come out. So let's give them a listen and see what they got to say. Here it is.
By James J. Dillon and Arn Anderson.
One thing I noticed that Arn Anderson is very methodical about everything that he does. That goes back to the tradition of the Anderson family of being the toughest boys on the block. Now the question comes down, who's the toughest guy in the family? And I think we're looking at him right here.
What it boils down to, Ole, when I was growing up, I looked at you as some kind of god. You were up on a pedestal so high, you and Gene. A lot of times I put you so high up on that pedestal, I couldn't get to you myself. You always said, stay down here, kid. Stay in the gym. Practice your technique. And watch the finest team there was. Well, I did all that, Ole. And as you see, my friend, I've been in the gym. I've been in the ring polishing my craft. And what I did for the final kicker is I got associated with men like Ric Flair, my cousin, James J. Dillon. Tully Blanchard, the world's television champion, and our newest addition, the fourth horseman, Lex Luger. Lex Luger's got the knowledge of training. Tully Blanchard is as fine a performer as there's a face on the earth. Ric Flair, what do you say? The Mecca of manhood, the finest champion there's ever been. And James J. Dillon, the wizard, the financial wizard. So what I did, I took all your, whatever you want to call it, information, anything you want to tell me to do, all the things you said do, I did, Rock. But the one thing you never told me was said, be a quitter. Everybody said, the fire's still in Ole's eyes. Well, we're going across this country, Ole. There is fire in your eyes. You are as bad as I thought you were. But the bottom line is, Ole, I'm not that five-year-old kid you used to send to get coffee. I'm a grown man. Matter of fact, I'm overgrown. Now you bring Tim Horner in this. Horner, think about this,
no
buddy.
Shit.
You took your partner, Brad Armstrong, shoved him to the side. You took all your friends, Rose, Nikita, Rock and Roll, shoved them to the side. You're on a vendetta. You're a vigilante. You're in a Vietnam War. You can't hope to win. So, Rock, you take this young, good-looking kid, Horner, with all that talent. You bring it in there with him. You bring your bow bat in. But any way you look at it, the four horsemen are going to prevail. For the bottom line is, Rock, we have to prevail. So, Horner, Rock, you bring the ball bat, but you just remember, any team you want to put together, there's still just going to be two of you and four against two. I like those odds anytime. It's been your pleasure.
Okay, fans, more action right after this.
4-on-2. I love that line. Doc, what did you have from this?
I'm overgrown.
I'm a grown man. You bring Tim Horner. You bring that ball bat. But you remember, any team you put together, it'll still be 4-on-2, motherfucker.
Man, and at the beginning, he was like, you know, I used to think you were a god, but I was in there honing my craft, polishing my skills. Just top-notch in every way. Like, I'm here now, motherfucker, and I'm a problem for you. Last week it was, I know where you live and this is a family domestic problem. This week it's I'm overgrown and ready to go. Dude, if it was anybody but Ole on the other side of that ring, I'd say they're in trouble.
I would have to agree, but I still think they're in trouble because it's only Ole and Tim Horner. And I mean, Tim Horner's promos against the Horseman's promos, it's like bringing a freaking knife to a gunfight. Actually,
like bringing a book of matches to a forest fire. What are you going to do with that shit?
Right. Just terrible. So that was some good stuff, man. Arn Anderson, as always, delivers.
He's the leader in the clubhouse for the Rolex right now.
Most definitely. Next match is the Road Warriors versus Randy Barber and Thunderfoot 2. Same old stuff. Barber and Thunderfoot 2, they're just sitting there scratching their nutsack when the Warriors hit the ring and they whoop their ass and they get the win, the Road Warriors, that is. Doc, any thoughts before I go to the Horsemen?
Let's go to the Horsemen.
Yeah, let's go to the Horsemen. We got Ric Flair, Tully, Lex, and Arn, and JJ all out there together with Tony Schiavone looking uncomfortable as a motherfucker. Here it is.
Well, the man's the world champion, and when he says something, by golly, he comes through, doesn't he?
The smorgasbord is open. That's right. As I told the public last week, the Horsemen would be here with two of the space martinets, two of the finest. Come on, girl, stand by here one time. Show the public why you're... don't you truck drivers at home wish you had something like that? Huh? Check it out. Double A. You remember the night, Double A? That you personally auditioned, Paula? Come on over here, Paula. Double A. Woo! That's how it goes. When you live the lifestyles of the rich and poor girls, give Tony a big kiss one time, girls. Come on. Give Tony a big kiss.
Tony.
You're going to learn to run with the big dogs. Come on, give him a...
He's uncomfortable.
Bodacious. You see, Tony, when you run with the big dogs, buddy, this is what life's all about. You get in the ring, you wrestle 30 minutes to an hour, you make 10 grand a night, you jump in your limousine, and ooh la la. Woo! Now, the reason we're here, all of us, is because my fiery little precious is going to have one more opportunity to become the number one space martinet. Look what we got for Precious. Uh-huh. Show him the front. Show him the front part, JJ. Uh-huh. Yes.
I want to ride Space Mountain on the front of the shirt.
You fiery little thing. I know you're out there. Come on, Tony Schiavone. As the world's greatest sports commentator, please bring Precious out here because we had this T-shirt for... And as I said before, Ric Flair still spares no expense. So I've got a lovely gift for Precious.
Okay, the world champion Ric Flair with the Space Mountainettes and the Four Horsemen. Precious, if you're here, I hope you will come out.
Oh, God.
There she comes.
How about that, boys? You are so right. Just a minute.
Okay, the world champion Ric Flair walking over to our right here.
Is this class? Is this class?
My goodness.
Is this class act? Answer me, Tony.
Hey, this is a class. This is class.
And this can be yours. Wow. Hey, let me tell you something first of all. Vanna White's got nothing on you, and you can spin this Wheel of Fortune anytime you want to. How about it, girls, huh?
Me too movement.
All right. Yeah, sister line. Come on, Precious. Give him one. Give him one like this.
Whoa.
One more time, Precious. I told you, Tony, just a matter of time.
A perfect fit.
Woo!
She just left with the coat.
I guess that's my cue. Girls, the horsemen are here. Precious, woo!
Okay, there they go. Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen, the Space Mountainettes, and Precious with the coat. Let's go to the ring. Hey fans, Ric Flair, the world heavyweight champion, on his way out along with the Four Horsemen, and as we know, of course, Precious took the code.
Tony's all discombobulated.
The whole coat, everything. She walks right out towards the ring with it. All right, back into the
ring. All right, so they go to the ring. Doc, this was kind of entertaining. I mean, Precious doesn't really say anything. She takes the coat and then runs off, but what did you have from it?
The thing that got me the most was, like, Shivani was a heel play-by-play guy there. Arn's like, isn't this classy? And instead of being like, no, that's disgusting. He shouldn't be doing this. Tony's like, no, that's a nice coat. I mean, shit, that's what a gesture. I mean, Tony was trying to be the fifth horseman there.
Do you think Lois gave Tony a hard time when the Space Mountains were kissing him?
No.
Okay.
But that was awesome because he looked like he was about to crawl out of his skin.
Yeah, he was looking very uncomfortable.
He looked like he was about to bust in his pants.
Yes, he definitely did. Shivani looks so uncomfortable. I got a question for you, and I was hoping Harper would be here tonight, but I'll ask you. So did Ric bang one or both of those broads that were out there with them?
Both of them multiple times until he was tired of it, and they may not have been the only two. They were the only two that could make it to TV. Because
or
either
the only two that were on camera.
Either their shift started at the strip club or they had to catch their connecting flight and be stewardesses to the next town.
Fair point. I hate to agree with you, but you're probably right on the money there. He banged both of them multiple times, and I wouldn't be surprised if other members of the Horsemen also got in on that action. So
Tully had that look in his eye like he had or was about to.
Yeah, he had that shit-eating grin. You know the drill that they had back then. Let's see what happens when because Precious took the main coat and walked off, so don't let that slip past you. She got the main coat and then she left, so more to come on that. The next match is Baron Von Raske versus Brody Chase. Baron wins, very much so. There is a promo with Ivan Koloff and Vladimir. The only thing I had from it was some drunk fan kept yapping the whole time.
And at the end, it was Nikita's gonna kill you, boy.
That was actually the best part of the promo, was it not?
Yeah, I thought so. And somebody else says it again later.
It was after
Koloff and then again after Luger. And I was like, man.
I'm gonna play that. That way the person can hear. Because literally, when you hear it later, the quick like 10 seconds, it's literally all you heard during the Ivan and Vladimir promo was the guy just some drunk fan. There's a drunk fan in the crowd. He's very drunk. He's more drunk than Doc is right now on his What are you drinking, Doc? What kind of beer you got?
Oh, man, I had to dip into the reserve stash that the wife had in the house. I drank all of my beer. It's too hot to get out and get to the store. I'm having a Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy.
What the fuck is that?
It's a beer, you fucking jack off. It's not fucking cognac or purple drink or whatever it is your people do.
You know, the only beer I drink is. The only beer I've ever really liked and actually took a liking to and drank. Have I ever told you what it is?
I can't wait to hear what this is.
Blue Moon.
That's good. Yeah, you have told me that. You put a little orange slice on it, or
yeah, it's not bad. Like, I can't explain it. It doesn't really taste like beer to me, so I kind of like the, you know, you take a little slice of orange and you.
That's the biggest heel comment you've ever made on this show.
The only reason I do that is because I was told to do that. I was told that's how you're supposed to drink it.
Well, whatever. So speaking of purple drink and Hennessy, I haven't seen Phil Allen around lately. Did I run his ass off?
No, Phil Allen's all over the Facebook group, man. Actually, you want to hear something funny? As of us recording this on July 18, 2018, he posted in the Facebook group today one of his broads that he's banging right now. And evidently, he has just been – I don't know if he's just started to date this broad or just kind of seeing her or whatever. But his daughter came up to him while he was, like, talking to this broad that he's been messing with and was like, "Mama wants you to call her." And Phil Allen was like – "I ain't married to that bitch no more. What you mean mama want me to call her? Tell her she can wait." So the broad he's Phil Allen's messing with was like, what is she talking about? He's like, "Man, that's my ex. We ain't been together for a long time." So anyway, Phil Allen posted in the Facebook group today a picture of, I don't know if this is the broad or I'm not sure if this is the broad he's banging, but literally they're on like some boat or some yacht. And he's like, "Man, I'm just ready to get back and bust some guts out." So there you go.
Jesus Allen for you. Christ. I know he's not here, and this isn't my line, but I feel like I need to say it. That's real classy.
Okay, let's keep going to the show. Ivan Koloff defeats Dexter Westcott. Doc, any thoughts?
Not a thing.
All right. And then they go to another segment where my notes are fucked up.
Would you spill some Hennessy on him?
No, I messed up my notes. Before the next match, Shivani mentions how Precious walked off with the coat that Flair gave her, as we talked about a little bit while ago. And then Jimmy Garvin versus Thunderfoot 1. Precious does wear the coat to the ring as she accompanies Jimmy to the ring as normal. Garvin wins with the brainbuster, and we go straight to a promo with Garvin and Precious. Doc, anything while I get this promo queued up?
Yeah, one quick thing I'm going to tell you, and it's kind of a bridge between the match we just saw and the promo we're about to hear, and that is Jimmy Garvin is over with this crowd right here.
It shouldn't surprise you, though, being that we grew up watching World Class and how over he was.
It's because he had such a prolonged false start in this promotion, trying to get a good feud going, that it was weird, but he's turned it on, pal.
Speaking of Jimmy Garvin, our promo of the week is going to be from July 23rd, 1983, later on in the show. And it's not really a promo, but it's the Valet for a Day segment when Jimmy and Sunshine had the service. I don't want to say service, but had to
be valet. Wait a minute. Is that where they went out to the ranch and the on-air gangbanged Sunshine?
It's fucking... No, what is it? Gangbanged
Sunshine.
Got it,
they all got her in the barn and had a turn out there.
No. But all right, let's go to the promo with Jimmy Garvin and Precious right here, because a lot's about to go down.
Precious with the coat, and you can hear all the fans, gorgeous.
I got to tell you something, Tony Schiavone, and I got to tell all the fans. Precious, you are looking very, very beautiful today.
Oh, she does.
That's beautiful. In fact, I'd like to tell you that I love you very much. And I'd like to know who you think you are, Ric Flair. I want to know what kind of man that you think you are. You are the world's heavyweight champion. That gives you a right to buy big fancy cars and spend lots and lots of money. You are world's heavyweight champion, and that entitles you to millions and millions of dollars. And that's nice for you. But the fact is this, Pally. World champion or no world champion, you ain't man enough to take my woman. You ain't been man enough since the day you were born. The only thing you got, like I said before, that you haven't bought or paid for is the gold around your waist. And the only truthful thing you've said is that this woman right here, my woman, is going to be walking out with the world champion in her arms. And that's going to be gorgeous Jimmy Garvin. Because I am enough to beat you, Ric Flair. There's no doubt in my mind, pal. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not intimidated by you. I'm not afraid of you, pal.
Rewind that. Where'd you go, huh?
Hey, that's no
good. Why am I asking her where she went? You don't be leading me on. Hey, let me explain something to you. Okay, the finger's over here to the side, but it goes back again. Don't be coming out here telling the world that you're categorizing yourself with me or the Four Horsemen.
I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand, man.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You got a problem here.
Hey, you got a problem. I'll get into your business anytime I want to. Hey.
He gave her the coat.
He
gave her the coat.
Did you give her the coat?
No, I gave her the
coat. You got your coat, baby? All right. You keep the coat. Go ahead, Jimmy. Get her out of here. If there's a problem, you let me know, and we'll take care of the problem, baby.
Bro, he just pimped Rick.
Well, I think we can all see exactly what happened.
What kind of redneck act was that? What kind of redneck act was that? That's his interview time. What's the matter with Rhodes?
We got to go, fans. We'll be right back.
Why is he out there messing with Jimmy Garvin's interview time? That was our job.
Now, a question for you. Do you recall Rick being pimped, or just the Four Horsemen in general, being pimped like they were by Dusty right there, who came out?
Dusty made him his bitch.
He did. He just bitch slapped them. And they didn't respond. Like, Arm was the only one was like, what kind of redneck stuff is that? I thought that was great. That was great. That was good stuff.
I thought Jimmy was great. You're not man enough to take my woman, pal.
He was. He was very good there. I will agree. But hey, Dusty, it was all around good stuff. You ain't man enough. There's a drunk in a crowd. You can barely hear him at the very beginning. He yells, he ain't nobody. When Garvin said, who do you think you are? Talking towards Rick. And Garvin, you ain't man enough to take my woman. And Dusty just pimped the fuck out of Flair, man. That was some good shit talking.
And
right,
I
kind of
don't like it, though, because it's like this angle didn't need Dusty in it.
Well, no. Here's why I was good with it. Because it showed the cowardice of the cowardly horseman. Because Dusty comes out, Nikita comes out, Garvin's out there, and it's like, look, yeah, it's 3-on-4 right now, but you know what? We ain't scared of you, Dusty's saying to Rick. So the psychology of it to me was, Rick looks around and is like, well, we don't have them outnumbered, so we maybe better not start throwing blows, and we just better go with this. And
I thought he got punked at the beginning when Jimmy Garvin told him to get his hand out of his face, and he did, and said, okay, my hand's over here.
Probably, yeah.
What's wrong with Rick? Man, Jesus, this damn coat that got stolen from him has got him all disheveled.
Well, he ain't worried about it later on in the show, and we'll get to that shortly. But any other thoughts, Doc, on this? I thought this was a good segment.
I thought Garvin was lights out here.
He was. And we're going to see more from Lights Out Garvin from World Class later on in this episode during our promo of the week segment. But this was good. Garvin was lights out. Basically, Dusty just told Rick, they're keeping the coat, and you can't do shit about it, and you ain't getting no pussy. So, yeah.
That's not true. The Space Mountainettes are still in the back, pal.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying he ain't getting none from Precious is my point.
A new pussy is what you mean.
The new pussy, right. Yeah, there you go. Tim Horner followed by Ole Anderson is up next. Do I need to play this? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
I mean, Arn is Ole's good.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not Tim. It's not play worthy. Ole's good. Ole basically tells Arn, "Look, man, I ain't worried about the horsemen. I can handle. We gonna handle this." And the thing is, the only thing that makes this believable is Ole is believable. Ole can hold his own. So I'm not worried about Ole. But damn, Tim's a good wrestler, but the promos just be like, eh. Anyway, we got some other stuff we need to shit on, though, which is this next match. Because I got a feeling you guys. Well, I'm not shit on it, but Doc, what were your thoughts on the new breed? Because the new breed are coming into the promotion. Sean Royal, Chris Champion, no disrespect to them, versus Cougar Jay and Chance McQuaid.
Sounds like you're thoughts about to disrespect them when you said no disrespect to them.
Well, no, I looked up real quick before you tell me what your thoughts are. I looked up the entrance music or the theme song that they came up to. because I was like, that's not the real one. Obviously, it's dubbed over, and I completely forgot that it was Beastie Boys' Fight for Your Right to Party was what they originally came out to.
Shouldn't that have been the Party Patrol?
No, I'm all right with the new breed coming out to Fight for Your Right to Party. You got to remember, this is Beastie Boys' time, bro. That late 86, early 87, them some bitches was on fire, bro.
How did your thoughts on the new breed? How did your people feel about white rappers?
Well, it was accepted in my community.
Okay.
Nobody like, you know, was down on the Beastie Boys. Okay. I will never forget the first time I saw them and was like, them dudes white? It shocked the piss out of me, but I mean, I didn't think anything bad of them. But your thoughts on the new breed?
You probably don't get too attached to them. They're not here for long.
Yeah, it's very, very, very short run. It's a very short run. The thoughts on their whole concept of them being a team from the future. Any thoughts on that?
Well, they haven't really said that yet, have they?
No, I'm speaking of my knowledge of them and what I knew of them at that point. That doesn't come up till either next week or week after.
Okay.
When they cut a promo, that is absolutely like, what did I just listen to?
Yeah, so right now, I will say, for everything I saw on the screen, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't terrible. They did a lot of, like, high spots.
No, they're good. They're good in the ring. It's just the gimmick doesn't hold up.
They haven't talked about the gimmick yet, so I'm not talking about future events. I'm talking about right now.
We'll talk about it right now. Okay, that's fine. We'll get into
They start talking about that later. Goofy time traveling shit. I'm going to take a big old shit all over it. Okay, we'll get there soon enough.
All right, right. Well, fair enough. That you make sense there. So, new breed win, though. So, just want to point that out. So, there you go. Remember, if you are listening to this show, we appreciate it. And please consider becoming a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. And you're saying, why would I become a patron? It's because for as little as $2 a month, you can do more. You get access to over 80 patron-only shows, which includes our world-class championship wrestling episodes that we do, includes the pre-shows that we do, like this week we did a What If on switching commentary teams between NWA Saturday Night and Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but also all kinds of other shenanigans and craziness that we've done on the patron shows. We've done tons of Broad Logic episodes. We did a Dallas Cowboys Ring Rat episode. Ring Rat House episode, almost 2 years ago now, was exceptional. A lot of fun. Lots of great feedback on that one. But again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. A lot of people love the world-class shows, but in truth, 80-plus episodes of just insane craziness from Harper, Doc, and I, and my buddy
pure
Lance,
filth.
Who does the dude, the Dallas Cowboy Ring Rat House episode is pure filth. It's disgusting, actually. But, you know. $2
Do you think
a month.
Like you ever lived in a house that was haunted or had a ghost or anything?
No, I haven't.
I just wonder if the owners of that house now hear like strippers moaning high pitched like they're getting fucked,
Wait,
emanating
you know
from like the
bad.
Walls and shit.
It's bad. So for people who don't know, the Dallas Cowboys. They actually, one of the Cowboys, I won't spoil it for you if you do become a patron, actually either rented out or bought this house next to Valley Ranch where the Cowboys were, I guess, going through. That was their camp. That was not only their summer training camp, but where they –
Not
the
their training camp. It was their training facility.
Training facility, right. And one of the Cowboys rented it out and basically – they did nothing but bang broads there during.
It was nothing but a stabbing cabin. That's all.
Stabbing cabin, Ring Rat House. So someone actually owns that house now, which is the thought.
Late at night, if you're real quiet, you can hear some girl named Monique moaning and getting her guts busted out.
Oh no, they were fucking white broads too. Don't even try to go there with me.
Why do you think
you know
they were
that.
White broads? Why do you think they were white broads? Because when your kind gets money, they forgive the sister.
No,
the sister, and they,
that's
and
not
they,
what I'm saying.
They get the dream.
I'm just saying, they're pro athletes. They were banging white, black, anything.
Oh, yeah, but why white bitches? What's that got to do with it?
All of them were getting serviced. Okay, we will keep going. So, but seriously, think about becoming a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Access to all the patron-only content, including the world-class shows. Next promo up is Lex Luger, and J.J. Dillon. Listen to the drunk in the background, because, like, seriously, that is the best part of this. Here it is.
Along with James J. Dillon, here is Lex Luger, one of the Four Horsemen.
You know, JJ can attest to this. When you're the very best at what you do, outside distractions are inevitable. Lex Luger is the most marketable commodity in professional sports today. Walk into any locker room, professional football, professional basketball, professional baseball, hockey, you name the sport, you won't find a physical specimen to match Lex Luger. JJ, what we have here, he's been flooded with calls from TV producers, movie producers, advertising agencies, you name it. They want a piece of the total package. But JJ's master organizer that he is has wiped the slate clean. For one reason, because in professional sports, there's always that confrontation that everybody wants to see, whether it be Larry Bird versus Michael Jordan, Roger Clemens versus Eddie Murray. There's always that special matchup. What I'm talking about is Nikita and Lex Luger for the U.S. heavyweight title. The unstoppable force versus the immovable object. And when that meets, there's going to be an explosion. And when all the smoke clears, you're going to see standing tall the next U.S. heavyweight champion, Lex Luger. You can take that to the bank.
All right, let's go to the ring.
I got a feeling you're going to crap on that one, Doc. Doc, where are you at?
I'm here. I hit mute so that you couldn't hear me cussing Lex Luger out while he was talking.
Okay, then.
Jesus Christ. It's like if somebody told him, hey, man, if you talk slower, all your words will mean more. No, it's just going to bore everybody to death, dude. And his word choice is just terrible. How about just saying in professional sports, basketball, baseball, football, instead of saying professional basketball? That's the NBA, dude. He's just stiff out there. Fuck that interview. Okay. I hope Nikita does get him.
All right. Okay. I guess my notes, you couldn't hear the drunk as much as I thought you could when I first listened to this, but there is a drunk in the crowd who kept saying
Nikita's
going to get you pumped.
How do you know
they're
drunk? I mean, you don't know that.
He sound drunk. That's why I said
okay, that's different.
All right.
You sound black. You sound black. What's that mean?
Okay. Tully Blanchard takes on Alan Martin next. Tully wins, although it wasn't really quick. So to the point you made, not a quick match. Doc, any thoughts from that?
I had completely forgotten that this occurred, so I would say no.
Ron Garvin then takes on Bill Tabb. Garvin stretches Bill Tabb, although it was nothing like we saw 2 to 3 weeks ago when he whooped up on Dexter Westcott. Garvin does win. Any thoughts, Doc, from that?
I have a couple.
Okay.
So Crockett's not there this week, right? So it's just Giovanni, and I realize that an hour into this is the wrong time to be pointing this out, but whatever. At some point during the match, Giovanni says, I know what you're thinking at home. Man, that's got to hurt. I was like, it sure does, pal. And did you notice that Ron Garvin did not put his nutsack in Bill Tabb's face? Go back and watch that pin. He stood on him. He put his foot on him and pinned him, but he did not put his sack. I wonder if Bill Tabb was like, look, friend, you ain't pinning me with your nuts in my face.
He stretches Bill Tabb a little, but and when I say stretch, I mean mildly.
Wrestling. He's got to do something. He's got to win, but it was not the thrashing that he normally puts, and then he didn't stick his nuts in his face.
Right. You compare it to what you've seen 2 weeks ago with Dexter Westcott, or 3 weeks ago, and then even last week it was nothing like that. So,
I mean, Carver, tell me, I've often wondered this in cheerleading or in wrestling, how is it to grab a man by the nuts and like lift him up and do stuff?
A man by his nuts, bro.
You ever done something like in a wrestling move or something? And
no,
you're just
not
right down there and nuzzled up against it?
I mean, you go when you scoop slam or body slam someone, you go to that region, but your hand goes underneath and you're basically grabbing almost their backside as you scoop them up. With you got your right hand and you got your left hand, which goes behind their neck.
All right, so let me ask
you
this.
You're a body slam as they post for you, but you're not grabbing nuts.
Okay, so you're the
And I'm not – hold on. I'm not no fucking muscle man where I'm pressing someone where I may have my hand close to their nuts as I'm pressing them, so no.
Right, you were an indie mud show wrestler who was in the 90s more likely to swing a chair, Balls Mahoney style. I get it.
Yeah, there you go.
So let me ask you this. You're – the father to a daughter, right?
Si, senor.
How do you feel about if your daughter says, I want to be a cheerleader, and you know some dude cheerleader is going to just be grabbing your girl like a bowling ball and lifting her up in the air to cheer on some jackass team? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, fuck. Yeah, hell with that. Nah, it ain't happening. I mean, I can't stop it. It's part of life, but, you know.
Part of me thinks we all messed up by not being male cheerleaders, dude.
There might be some truth to that argument there.
Just saying, man.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be quarterback. How about you be over there knuckle deep?
Yeah, I mean, you could be the cheerleader.
You could be the quarterback. You could be the quarterback and you got your hands up some sweaty fat dude's ass, or you could be the cheerleader over there, you know.
Get elbow deep up into some shit, huh?
Right.
Yeah,
who's winning every Saturday down at the college football game, you know?
All right. Okay, let's keep it moving. We got Nikita Koloff, and I ain't playing it.
Jesus Christ, it was bad.
God, it was terrible. Okay, thank you very much. I don't know if I had the timestamps played right, so let me hit play on this from Lex Luger and Larry Clark. Random guy in the crowd kept yelling, Nikita gonna get you, boy. Here it is.
Let's go to the ring.
Nikita's gonna get you, boy.
God.
In the ring, Lex Luger.
That guy came in from the country for this show, dude. That was squeal like a pig, deliverance, just... Are we sure this isn't Smoky Mountain Wrestling where we're dude, here?
That dude, Nikita gonna get you, boy!
What are the chances that that guy that yelled that has had sexual relations with an animal?
50-50 at least.
Right.
Dude, I really...
For comparison points... Mine is 0, Harper's is 1%, and Mike's is at least 25%. So there you go. I mean, this guy has a coin flip chance that he's sodomized a goat at some point.
This is completely off topic, but a lot of our listeners will know what I'm talking about. I know you haven't seen it, but there's that show Live PD that comes on, and I can't, it's too much to watch because it's like literally they do like 3 hours on Friday, 3 hours on Saturday. But I'll DVR it, and sometimes on either Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I'll blow through it as quickly as I can. Sometimes I'll watch it live. It just depends.
I watch English Premier Soccer so that I don't have to watch shit like that.
No, bro. I'm pointing this out because the saps that get arrested and pulled over, it's incredible how pathetic it is. They are in Greene County, Missouri, one of the patrols they do, and literally – 99.9% of the people they pull over are white, are on meth, and do not have a driver's license.
I'm kidding. When I get pulled over, I start acting belligerent as shit because you're not pulling this cop bullshit on me. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck who you are. I start playing the. Do you want to have a race to see who can get the mayor on the phone?
Okay, that's nice. There you go.
I told you the last time I got pulled over, that's 100% what was said to the police.
Okay, That's nice. All right, can we keep moving?
But I also don't fear getting shot either because I'm Lily White, but whatever.
There you go. Luger does defeat Larry Clark. Let's keep it moving and keep it wrestling related. We got Tully Blanchard versus Tully Blanchard out there with J.J. Dillon and cut a promo. I thought this was a good one, so here it is.
Money bag back out, and of course, James J. Dillon still with the $10,000. The man has had it for a long time now.
You know, Tony Schiavone, I was watching television last week, and Ole Anderson said, you know, Tully Blanchard would be absolutely nothing without this. And, you know, I went home and I started to think about it a little bit. And, you know, Ole.
Shut up in the background.
I wouldn't be nothing, but, you know, it would be a great void in my life because, you know, I have taken the world's television championship and made it what it is today. Something that people come out here on national television and want to wrestle for, and something that I come out here and talk about being the world's television champion from one end of this country to the other. And that's what it's all about. I have enough pride in myself and my abilities that I can put 10,000 of my dollars that says I'm the best at what I do for 25 minutes. And that's exactly what it is. Nobody has been able to take it away from me. Right here on television, Brad Armstrong. What, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes? Bullet Bob, Tim Horner, the list goes on. Right on television, I put my abilities on the line every day, every time I set foot inside the squared circle. So, Ole Anderson, if you want to come and try to take my livelihood away, you come on, bring your bat, because I'll bring the horseman. Because it's still, just like Arn said earlier, JJ, it's 4-on-2 with a bat. And you know, you may think you're on your last ride, Ole, but this psychological warfare you're playing doesn't get over with anybody, because we know, we've been in the gym with you. You know, it was just that last couple of months you turned your back on the horseman. But I have never turned my back on the world's television championship, and I will be the world's television champion as long as I want to be and as long as I can defend my $10,000 and bet it on myself.
Tully Blanchard and James J. Dillon. More action right after this timeout.
Let me say something. I thought Tully was perfect right there. He told Ole when he said, you can try to play that psychological warfare if you want, but we know you, Ole, better than anyone, so it ain't working. And I thought that was a great line from Tully. I just thought that was perfect. What did you have, Doc?
I'm going to use the line that we hear Harper say all the time. And since he's not here and we all miss him, I do hope that he's, you know, ball bag deep into something right now. But what part of that wasn't true?
Yeah, he says that all the time, and it's 100% accurate. What part wasn't true?
He puts his money where his mouth is. I mean, I got the horseman. We're good to go. I back it up. I'll take on the challenges. I do this thing. I wouldn't be nothing without it, but it means a lot to me.
100% accurate. No,
really
no false
strong
narrative
promo.
There.
Really strong promo there.
He's perfect for the horseman. Everything he said. Everything's true. Give him credit. All right, Doc, anything else from Tully right there?
Man, I want to see him and Ole get it on, pal.
Well, stay tuned. Tim Horner versus Mike Forrest up next. Horner beats Mike Forrest. But let me tell you something, Doc, and I'm going to put this up on the YouTube channel. I hate that stupid natural bridge.
It's so slow, man. Why didn't somebody kick out while he's trying to get it locked in?
Dude, I'm about to hit play on the YouTube channel for it, and I'm going to play it without sound. But literally, Horner, he's got the guy pinned for over a second before Teddy Long can even start the pin attempt.
And then he's still locked up with him that Teddy had to help him up.
Right. And Teddy literally, while Force's shoulders are pinned, as you're seeing it on the YouTube channel, he's got the guy's shoulders pinned, but yet he doesn't count because he's literally waiting for Horner to finish the bridge, as you can see in the replay right now. So the guy's shoulders are pinned, but he's waiting. It's just, fuck, man. I got hot watching that shit. Did you?
It was awkward and slow and everything fuck. That he's not supposed to be if he's a young, athletic, quick, fast, lightweight at that time.
Just driving me to no end, man. Just, and I know Tim's actually a good, he's actually a good wrestler, not a good talker, a good wrestler. That move, though, like,
when's he going to be on the show?
Who knows, man? I don't know, man. I got to reach out to Tommy Noe, but we'll see. I don't know. Who knows? Anything else from that? Tim Warner wins, but anything else?
No.
All right. So then we got Flair. Flair's out there to. He's going to close out the. Hey, they go off hot, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Well, Flair's
yeah.
out there.
Yeah.
Players out. Let me hit play on. Here it is.
On in this program concerning you and Precious.
Let's stress something right now that's very important. I'm sure on the minds of everybody out there that understands what money is all about. That coat cost me $15,000. That means nothing.
You a liar.
$15,000 in the life of the world champion, in this case, Ric Flair, is nothing. I'll dump that in the Marriott tonight in Baltimore, baby. Mm. That's the way it goes. Mm. But Precious, you see what I can't take? I can't take you walking away from me. You're playing hard to get. I like that. Nobody likes them easy. I never have liked that one night stuff anyway. So you see, Precious, you keep egging me on, baby, and I'm going to keep making it sweeter for you. The one thing I am going to eliminate firsthand is the competition between me and your bull. Jimmy Garvin, now, my friend, you have added insult. You pour a little salt in the wound. The name is Slick Rick Space Mountain, but above all else, it's Champ. I live every day of my life the world champion, buddy. It's mine. I'm it. I am Ric Flair, the world champion. This is mine. You keep your mouth shut, punk. And Garvin, when you and I get in the ring, buddy, I, number one, am going to beat you because I'm the best there is. Number two, I'm going to beat you because my ego says I have to. Number three, I'm going to beat you because it's going to make the road a little smoother to pressure. So you see, buddy, not only am I going to beat you, I'm going to have Precious singing. I'll be coming round the mountain.
Fans, we'll see you next week.
Doc, what do you have, man, as we watch the credits roll?
Man, I kind of like it, this one, because it's, okay, let's get the pussy off our brain and get back to the real thing, which is I'm the champ. I'm still going to walk that aisle. I'm still going to kick your ass. Because that's what I do. That's who I am, and my ego says I have to.
He claimed that coat cost $15,000.
I believe that back then. And he also told you where he was going to spend an equal amount of money that night so that it was a bat signal for all the rats out there.
Right, to hit the Marriott and have JJ with the checklist. And yeah, he sure did.
After I get done banging out the 1-2-3 on Barry Windham, come down to the Marriott where I can bang out a 1-2-3 on you.
It's nice. All right. Oh, man. Okay, we got a...
How many people do you think Ric Flair put a figure four on in a hotel bar over the years?
I mean, are you trying to be funny? Like, how many broads? Or I'm
no,
confused.
I mean, just everybody's drinking kamikazes and... He's holding court with, like, sports figures and announcers and people because he's the champ. And just next thing you know, he's got some mark down in a figure four. I don't know.
See, that, I don't know. But, I mean, when you watch that Ric Flair, like, 30 for 30 that ESPN did, and you hear Jim Ross talk about how he was, you know, he was actually really lonely, and he'd go to these little small bars and he just starts buying shots, and he was like the life of the party. And just, you never know, just based on stuff like that. Like, how many times did Rick just lose his shit in terms of in a crazy way, but just was out there having fun and just start buying shots. And hey, buddy, let me show you the figure four. And he put some drunk bastard in a figure four.
Right.
Who knows, man?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, when you think about how much he was on the road, is anything that you can think of him doing, like, unrealistic as happening?
No.
Because we're talking about he's on the road 7 days a week.
Nothing.
Right. Anything. I mean, yeah, I mean, we all laugh about the, going to the Marriott and banging the broads after, but what happened all before that when he was out getting blitzed and drunk? I mean, hell, you and I have been broke, and we were out getting drunk on Friday and Saturday night.
I've had legendary evenings with less than $20 in my pocket.
Right, so imagine having thousands upon thousands in your pocket. What kind of shit went down then? We've had great nights and been broke.
I guarantee you that I would not be alive.
Yeah, it's actually rather amazing when you think about the fact that he's still around. Cause imagine the money he had.
How many fortunes has he lost?
10 lifetimes worth? Mm-hmm. I mean, he has had years where he made more money than you and I literally, if we didn't have wives, could live off of for an entire lifetime.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to wives. I'm just stating a fact. He's had years where that's how much money he made. So, yeah, it's pretty damn amazing. All right. So that actually ends the actual episode. So Doc and I need to give out a Rolex, and we need to grade the show. Doc, you graded first. You go first. I went first last week.
So this episode was good. Not as good as what we've seen over the last few weeks. But it was pretty good. I mean, it was... At first watch, I was like, man, I don't know. But there were some moments in there, and there's some good stuff that happened. And when I throw it all in the doc, the blender that I use to concoct the appropriate score, I'm going to say a B+.
All right. I'm going to give it an A. I thought it was just fine. You got some multiple Ric Flair promos, so you got to take that into consideration. I think you got to... Yeah, throw that in there. Arn had a really, really good promo early on in the show. He talked about he's a grown man, and you can bring Tim Horner, you can bring that ball bat, but just remember, any team you put together, it's still 4-on-2. And again, you had the two Ric Flair promos. So I went with an A. I mean, I probably could have gave it a B+, but Garvin also delivered some solid promo when he told Rick he wasn't anybody and basically pimped Rick too. So I thought this was good, man. I'm going to give it an A. The Rolex... I almost want to give it to Garvin because he punked Rick, but then Arn actually delivered a really good one. You know what? I'm talking myself into it. Because Jimmy Garvin out there with Precious punked Rick and Precious walked off with the coat, I'm going to give it to Garvin simply because he told Rick, you ain't man enough to take my woman, and he basically punked Rick when he told him to take his hand out of his face, and Rick... segued and was like, okay, so I got to give it to Jimmy Garvin. Arn's got plenty. Garvin's getting my Rolex. What about you?
Interesting. When we hit record tonight, my Rolex was going to Garvin. But after we re-listened to it and replayed it, I'm giving it to Arn.
I had the exact opposite. I was going to give it to Arn, but I talked myself into Garvin. Wow. Okay. So you're giving it to Arn, which, I mean, no, you can't argue either one. Arn was solid. And Garvin was solid. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, both of them were great.
Fantastic stuff. Good stuff. So, really, really. You gave it a B+. I gave it an A. For the purposes of explaining our rating system, as we always do, we're grading this on 1987 standards, 86, 85. In the old days, we're not grading it on today's standards. You stack this up against today, Doc giving this shit an A+, and I'm giving it an A+ as well. And that's that. So there you have it. All right. So before we get into our promo of the week, I want to remind everyone, please, if you used our Amazon referral link on Prime Day, on July 16th. Thank you very much. But please continue using it. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It's a great way to support the show without spending anything extra. I mean, you're spending money on Amazon, but you won't spend anything extra. And the show gets a little bit of small kickback in return that helps pay for the hosting services, the Skype services that I use for the show as well. So again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. And we'd appreciate it if you use it. Go buy Bobby Blaze's book, our good friend Bobby Blaze that Doc was messing with earlier in the show regarding his new podcast, Bell to Bell with Bobby Blaze. So there you go. There's a plug, Bobby. Hope you're doing well with your show, and we'll bring you back on the show real soon as things heat up in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Also, again, become a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. And then go buy some T-shirts of ours. You can get our T-shirts by either checking the show description, the T-Public store, the Pro Wrestling Tee store. Easy to get to. The links are all there. But if you want to go to the Pro Wrestling Tee store, it's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory on Facebook. And click shop now to bring you to the store. Doc.
What?
We got that out the way. I got a very, very, very... Well, go ahead. What were you about to say?
I said what?
Oh, okay. So, I got a very, 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 very special promo of the week, as I was discussing earlier in the show briefly. Slid it in there. Do you recall what went down on July 23rd, 1983, in World Class Championship Wrestling? It is a major moment in the promotion's history, and it did not happen in an actual wrestling ring. Do you know what happened? Do you know what I'm referencing?
I do, but why don't you tell the people?
Well, I gave it away earlier. I think I actually said it, but
it was the gangbang with Sunshine, right?
No gangbang. Valet for a day. Jimmy Garvin and Sunshine work for David Von Erich on the, I think, the Von Erich Ranch. I'll assume that's what it is. Lance Peterson and I covered it recently on a world-class show. But July 23rd, 1983, very, very big moment. Would you agree, easily one of your top five moments from world-class wrestling growing up?
Let's see. One, two, three. I'm going to say seventh.
Where are you getting that from? I mean, did you just make that shit up in your mind or what?
No, but you got a lot of things here, pal. I remember Chris Adams and Kevin Von Erich
killing each other
with wooden chairs at Texas Stadium.
Christ.
I got Buddy Roberts getting Freebird hair cream in his face. I got Gino Hernandez and Chris Adams tag team. Kamala showing up. Gordy Slam and Kerry Von Erich's head in the door. I mean, there's a lot of shit that went on when I was a kid, pal.
You've got a point, but memorable
and
moments.
Then,
I
and
figured.
Then, if you want to talk about memorable, I got 14 Von Erichs dying in succession, and that's all pretty memorable too.
I meant memorable in a positive way, you fucking idiot.
The first time I was a kid and saw Kabuki spray the mist, Jesus Christ!
See, the first time you see Kabuki spray the mist, you're like, "What the fuck am I watching?"
Right.
Right.
You can't see his face. Except, and then mist comes out. It's like, holy shit, I'm eight. I need my whoopee.
All right. Okay. So this is the moment, July 23rd of 83. Valet for a day. Doc, can you see my screen? I'm sharing it for you.
Yeah, it's loading up here. We got WCCW 80, episode 82, July 20-something-something. I can't see that because it's pretty small.
23rd, 1983.
But basically, we've had a match here with David Von Erich and Jim Garvin, and Jimmy Garvin lost. So now he and Sunshine have to venture out to the ranch to find out what a good hard day of hard labor is all about.
So something happens that I don't think you'll remember from this, and that's the main reason why I wanted to play it. So for everyone listening, if you would like to watch along and you're not on the YouTube channel, if you go to – and you have the WWE Network. If you go to WCCW, that section in the vault, pull up episode 82, again, July 23rd, 1983. I'm about to hit play on the 9:32 mark of that episode. Again, the 9:32 mark of July 23rd of 83. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm hitting play right now.
Five times, David Von Erich and gorgeous Jimmy Garvin have met for the Texas Heavyweight Championship. At four times, they either had it disqualified or some problem kept it from being resolved. The fifth time, though, the winner would have the loser as his valet for a day. And David Von Erich won. So, gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and Sunshine became David Von Erich's valet for a day.
A big day with David Von Erich as gorgeous Jimmy Garvin and Sunshine play the part of valets for you. Ah, this must be a big, big occasion.
It's a great day for Dave because today Jimmy Garvin's going to learn what it means to have a full day's work.
Yellow plant
all day long.
Car, Doc.
Von Erich, let's get the thing started, man. Let's get the thing started. I want you to know right now I'm not going to be enjoying myself.
Okay, let's start it up. Are you getting out of the car?
That's okay, a pimp. Out of the car, that's an old pimp ride right there.
Let me tell you one thing. Let's get one thing straight right now. The only reason I'm here, Von Erich, is because my lawyer told me I had to be here, okay? Because if I wasn't here, I couldn't wrestle nowhere in the United States. Do you understand me, Von Erich?
I understand you well enough, Garvin. You stand in my face again, I'll knock you down.
What do you want?
I want you to get out of my way, open the door for Bill Mercer, my valet, and meet me behind the house in the back 40.
Open the door.
Open the door for Mr. Bill Mercer. I know it's some kind of joke with you, Von Erich. Walk is hard. I don't want to walk, Von Erich. I don't want to walk.
Garvin's
you
got
think this is some kind of joke? I can
on.
Tell right now that this ain't
that's
gonna
not
work
the right
out at all.
For this
I can
kind of
tell
work.
Right now. Walk, walk, walk is hot. I don't want to walk. Walk.
He's going to change. You'll see shoes right here. Look.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, hold on. Push pause.
All right, hold up.
Push pause.
Yes.
Push pause, everybody. First of all, if you've ever dug a hole in Texas in July, those post hole diggers he's got are not sufficient. I have built a backyard fence in the summer of Texas, and you need heavy machinery to move the earth because it's drier than all your grandma's pussy hairs. So
it's like concrete. I mean, say it's like concrete.
It is, man. And here's the other thing. Why is David Von Erich out there in a long sleeve shirt? He ought to be out there shirtless.
Well, he will be out there shirtless shortly, but
You know I've been to that ranch before, right?
Yeah, you told me that. You had been to it before.
Yeah. I went out there and contemplated. Okay. When I was there, I was real happy, but once I got there I started contemplating suicide and
Jesus Christ.
What?
He's working, everybody. Don't get all your fucking draws in a fucking bunch.
All of a sudden, I had a specific taste for Smith and Wesson.
Well, okay, so let's keep going. We'll pick back up. I'm going to hit play. We're at the 11:26 mark if you want to watch along with us, since Doc had me hit pause. So, again, 11:26 mark, and I'm going to hit play again in 3, 2, 1, hit play.
Those holes like some kind of blue-collar worker, man.
Hey, Garvin, what are you doing?
I got a sand spur in my tennis shoe, okay?
Well, get it out later, not on my time. You're working for me, boy.
Sunshine, come over here and do this for a while.
Sit down,
okay?
Sit down. You pull the trap. Garvin, you shut your mouth and dig your hole. Pull!
Talk about
what's the matter with you, man? You're some kind of nut or something. I'm digging as fast as I can. Look, I'm digging. It's hot out here.
Put your belly aching and just dig, Garvin.
Okay, before we go to them washing the dog, that's what I wanted you to see because I knew you didn't remember that.
I do, too, remember this. Then later they go over to the stables in the hay. They got to carry the hay up the hill.
But
I know what I'm watching here, pal.
I know, but do you want to tell the people when we say what happened just now as we hit pause again?
Well, while he's digging a hole for the fence with the post hole diggers, he's got Sunshine pulling skeets so he can do target practice. And, dude, he shot a gun right over Jim Garvin's head.
Right! That's what I wanted you to point out!
With the Von Erich proclivity to shoot people in the head, I'd be nervous if I was Jimmy Garvin out there. Dude,
people on the YouTube channel hear us talk about this and they don't understand the concept of the show is to be unprofessional and stupid. We're not being disrespectful to the Von Erichs. We're trying to be funny towards the show.
I'm not some moron trolling YouTube to listen to me, so I don't give a shit how you take it. Take it however you want. If you're an idiot, be an idiot.
Well, and
be the best idiot you can be.
So, but I grew up watching World Class. That's the other point of it, too. So, he's trying to be funny, but
dude,
to the point he made.
When David Von Erich died, I will tell you that was the worst thing that happened to me that calendar year, bar none. So, I was there. It came out on a Saturday or Sunday morning sports page. It was on the front page of the newspaper. My dad came and got me. It was the worst thing that happened to me that year. So if you're getting your panties upset on YouTube, I hope you do the Von Erich thing.
Jesus Christ. Okay. So we will keep going. And when he says the Von Erich thing, that's actually a soundbite from Robert Fuller for those not familiar with it. All right. We'll keep going. So now we're at the 11:57 mark of that same episode, July 23rd of 83. And I am going to hit play and 3, 2, 1, hit play.
Down.
Wash under his gross neck.
Look
at... Hey, Garvin, don't forget to get under his ears real good now. Listen, I want you to know I'm only doing this because I have to, Von Erich. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
The ugliest dog I've ever seen.
Get under his neck, good.
I want to go home.
You can't go home. We got to do this.
Well, I don't want
we want to go home. You can't go home. Wash around his mouth. I ain't getting around his mouth. Wash around his... Wash around his mouth.
Maybe I'm scared.
Don't worry
about
it. Three more dogs to do, Garvin. Hurry up. Scrub him. He sits on the ground just like your brother Kevin sits on that American title and just like you're sitting on my Texas title. He stinks. It's the grossest thing. Watch this stinky, stinky, gross dog. Gross. Stay, dog.
Never doing nothing.
You hold him. I'm tired of holding him. You hold him. Gross, smelly animal. Stay, dog. Stay, dog. Hold on to him. Hold on to him.
Sunshine is
Don't
filthy.
Let him go. Hold on to him.
God.
Hold on to him. Get him back over here by the soap. Get him by the soap.
Sunshine.
I forgot how great sunshine was, dude.
Is this the bale of hay we're supposed to move? There's so many bales of hay around here, I don't know which one we're supposed
to
move.
Jimmy, I don't know.
You don't know if this is it or not?
Sunshine's got heels on.
Nah, let's move it anyway. This says, here he is, we'll ask him. Ask him right now. Hey, is this the bale you want me to move or what, Von Erich?
I want you to move all of those down to the big tree in the middle of the field.
All right, grab one in there. Let's put this on the truck. Hey,
Garvin,
why am I not moving the truck? I can't put it on the truck with you moving it.
You ain't putting it on the truck. You're walking it down there.
I don't tell you. I don't know how much more of this I'm going to be able to take, Sunshine.
Dude, she's got heels.
Get
on.
A
Look
bail. Out. Get a bail. I can't carry all this by myself. Enough's enough of this. Come on, drag that over this way. Come on.
What day is this? July 23rd?
Come on.
Yeah.
Drag it faster.
I'm trying.
No, come on.
So you know it was hotter than giraffe pussy out there. Or hotter than Six Suns, not hotter than giraffe pussy.
What is?
God, that was a mistake. Bad analogy.
You know, David, I'm surprised Garvin hasn't refused to do anything. He's complained a lot, but he's doing these things you want him to do.
He really had no choice. He lost. He has to do them. That's the way it goes.
This old barn that you got him in here now to clean up, this thing must be 100 years old. Where is this?
We used to store our hay out here. It's my granddad's old barn.
Listen to me and listen to the good man. Look, I've done everything that you've asked me to do, okay? I've dug the post holes. I've washed the dogs. I give up my car to you when I first got here. I'm not going to clean up this old barn, man, on that television right there. These cameras are going to have to go, if you know what I mean. I don't mind doing it because I realize I got to do it or I can't wrestle in the United States no more. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not cleaning this poor excuse for a barn on those television cameras. Do you understand me, Von Erich?
You're going to do it, Garvin.
Now they're about to start fighting. This is the part you remember, right, Doc?
Yeah, of course.
So, Doc, you haven't. When's the last time you watched this?
It's been the last year.
Okay, so you've seen it recently. I was wondering how long it had been. So, any thoughts on what? Any closing thoughts on what we saw there?
If they didn't, and I can't remember this, they should have done some angle like this with Tracy Smothers and Primetime Brian Lee or Dirty White Boy in Smoky Mountain and Tammy.
I'm trying to think. I can't. I'm not off the top of my head. I'm not thinking of anything. But yeah, that would have been good. But yeah, I mean, that would have been cool. I agree. We're doing some good shit if they did that.
I know. That's why I said
nice
it.
Little memorable moment. But so I don't know. So I just did this episode with Lance with the World Class Shows for the patrons, and I got to this moment, and I mean, to me, this is top five in World Class because. Definitely top five, not in-ring moments, but to me, it was one of my most memorable moments as a kid. I can recall seeing this the night it aired, and I just was like, this is just crazy, man. You know, he lost it. And I don't know. It's just one of those things. You know, everybody wasn't doing this back in the day. You know what I mean? Everybody wasn't doing the vignettes. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. This was something that was absolutely innovative for its time.
Different day, different time for sure. So, I think that's almost going to wrap us up, man. You got anything
man, let's
else
wrap it
get
up,
out
dude.
Of here?
I know this works so much better without Harper. Let's fire his ass.
Oh my! You just got some major heat, brother.
From
so,
who? About
I
what?
Don't know, man. Everybody, people love Harper. Harper's the cartoon character, man. Harper's a very enjoyable part of this show. You know that. Don't be a
where
dumbass.
Is he?
Come
where
on,
is he tonight? He's not reliable.
Well, he had a family emergency. You know, I think he had a few space mountainettes, and you know, Harper's a single guy, so when he's got a chance to knock some stuff down, you know, what can you do, man? You got to
knock some stuff down.
Yeah,
interesting.
There it is. But anyway, bro, real quick before we get out of here, do you know why the Broads of BTT episode was so bad?
Because we invited the Broads on.
Not just that, but do you remember when we played the segment of Harper taking a piss on air?
They didn't get it.
They completely either no-sold it or just were like, this is dumb. This isn't funny.
It's juvenile.
It's juvenile.
You typical, guys need to grow up.
Typical Broad response to it all. So, yes, agreed, 100%. All right, everybody, follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper is at CJHGudet, although he's not here this week. And remember, go to the Facebook group and page. The group is tinyurl.com/BTTFBgroup. The actual Facebook page for the show is facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And don't forget to check the show notes and show description for the t-shirt links. Go buy Docaholic's t-shirt. Oh, go buy the Docaholic t-shirt for life. Yes, go check that one out. It would be greatly appreciated if a couple of people purchased that. Doc's been waiting so he can praise people who bought it. I know at Sparks Third Coast does have a Docaholic t-shirt. He's one of the few who have bought one, so there you go. So shout out to at Sparks Third Coast. And then shout out to the Hall of Fame patrons out there. Not only Disrespectfully Classy, Marky Blassie, and @Kyle_Riley, but C Brown and 250, Mitchell Johns 18, Spyboy Sports Cap, @MercilessJones, Disrespectfully Classy, Marky Blassie again, JMM7530, DR1851, Rube1452, Frog Zeppelin, RSmith9000, 945 Sports, BDK, Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Weiss, MPRU83, LSREMiller39, Justin_Andretti, JShiny21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider91, USC49er Dodger, Gerald Green III, TOG94, SV Pajam, Martin Howell71, Tim Moretti, Coleman822, Gobbled, Unreal, Unconvinced Ray, and that's all I got. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Doc, you got anything before we get up on out of here?
Let's go.
Hit the tagline and take us home, Doxter.
Book it, bitch.